All right, well, as you can tell, it was a wonderful week, and let's try it again, and let's see how loud you can be. This week, I got to hear it over and over, and the kids were pretty loud, unprompted, and so let's see how loud you can say Jesus rescues to this. So this is what we learned, that when you're lonely,
Jesus rescues.
Oh, that's pretty good. When you worry,
Jesus rescues.
When you struggle,
Jesus rescues.
And even when you do wrong, and when you're powerless,
Jesus rescues,
that's right. And that's what it is all about for us as a church over these past few weeks as we've been working through, just a reminder as to what it is that we as a church are about. And it is about helping people find and follow Jesus, who is our rescuer in the midst of it all. Each week we've made this point that whenever Jesus gets a hold of someone's life, whenever someone comes to that point of surrendering their life and everything that they are to trusting in him, that everything changes. Their lives are totally changed. Priorities change. Perspective changes. Following Jesus, it's a total way of life that affects everything about who we are. It affects our desires. It affects how we spend our money and our time, how we view others, how we treat others, how we face the hard things in our lives. It affects our joy and how we plan our futures. Every single thing. Jesus is a life changer. He's a game changer in every single way. And if you've experienced the grace and mercy of Jesus, your heart has been changed and you've been given life anew. And you love him when your heart's desire is to honor and please him. And last week, this has been a good week. We've had a week here with VBS that started out with just an evening of gathering together out at the Archibalds. And I want to thank you guys again for your hospitality and in hosting us and having us there. But to see four individuals get up and talk about how they've found Christ show up in their life. And they've come to that point of understanding about how, you know, even in spite of their sins, whenever they were dead in their transgressions, Jesus came and he showed up and he gave them life anew. And that's what we got to celebrate and hear stories and stories of going through some hard things and how they found peace and hope and rest in trusting in Jesus all throughout it all. And so it's been a week of just some big wins in regards to helping people find and follow Christ. And so it's been so good. And so this morning, as we look to this passage in Luke chapter 5, we're coming to the end of these 3 weeks of really just focusing in on what it is that we're about as a church and what does it mean to follow Jesus. At the beginning of the month, I had the opportunity to sit with a young guy, and he was really wrestling with just where the Lord was leading him. He felt like there was some sort of call to ministry in his life, and as we sat and as we were talking, I was reminded for my own self of those days back in whenever I was a college student, and I was over sitting on the harbor in Hong Kong and just really wrestling with that question of, God, what do you want me to do with my life? You know, the future is before me. God, what do you want me to do? It was in 1996, that summer after my junior year, and just wrestling with that question, I knew that I wanted to serve him. That's the only reason I was over there in Hong Kong at that time and Macau, and just wrestling with, what does the future hold and where are you calling me and where are you leading me? I don't know about you. Have you ever asked that question? God, what do you want me to do? What are you calling me to do with my life? I believe you have, and if you haven't, you're going to be, and you should. And maybe right now it's one of those moments for you when you're asking, God, what do you want me to do? And God, how do I move forward? Maybe you're here this morning and you're just putting one step in front of the other, one foot in front of the other, because that's as far as you can see. And really beyond that, you can't see much and you don't have a picture of what that looks like. And so friends, this morning my hope is to encourage you in regards to what God's calling you to give your life to, at least a big portion of it, an overarching thing that shapes everything else. It's one of those things that God wants you to do in the midst of whatever circumstances, no matter the situation that you find yourself in today. Here's what we believe, and here's what Scripture has to say in regards to that question. We believe that God wants you to trust him. He wants you to rely on him. He wants you to depend on him. Anchor your soul in him and know that there is no higher calling than to follow him and then to live for him. We've talked about what this looks like and what it means to follow Jesus in regards to loving Jesus 2 weeks ago. We talked from the passage where Martha and Mary, there they are, and Martha is concerned with many things, good things, and where's Mary? But she's seated at the feet of Jesus, and she's listening to him. She's giving him full attention. And as we looked at that, we saw a picture of this is what it means to follow Jesus. And the most basic of things is to sit before Jesus and listening to him and loving him and taking whatever direction from whatever he has to say. And then last week we talked about the passage where Jesus is there. All the people are pressing in on him. They want to see, hear him. They've heard all about all that he has done. And there are these four friends who have a friend who can't walk, who's paralyzed. And they are thinking, man, if we can just get our friend before Jesus and in his presence, he'll heal him and everything will be changed. And they've come to this situation and they don't give up, but they go and they climb on a roof and they dig a hole in the ceiling and they drop this guy before Jesus and Jesus heals him. And we talked about how Jesus saw their faith. And following Jesus means that we're going to do some things, and sometimes we don't stop and we don't give up, but we keep on going and we keep on persevering. And sometimes it means, even in the sight of what other people think and see how things are going, that it doesn't matter, because we are going to do everything that we can to get people into his presence. And so this morning, I just want to bring this around and make it one, and share one more thing as part of this, and make it all the more clear as to what Jesus is calling every single one of us to, and here as he called his first disciples in this passage. Because it's the same thing that he called them to as what he calls us to in our families, in our community, in our workplaces, to be about this in our lives. Because the work that he has given us is a work that has eternal consequences. And so if you have your Bibles, let's turn to Luke chapter 5, verses 1 through 11, and as we turn here and as we look to God's word this morning, let's all stand as we read these 11 verses. And so Luke, he says this, starting in verse 1, on one occasion, while the crowd was pressing in on him to hear the word of God, he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret. And he saw two boats by the lake, but the fishermen had gone out of them and were washing their nets. And getting into one of the boats, which was Simon's, he asked him to put out a little from the land. And he sat down and he taught the people from the boat. And when he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and we took nothing, but at your word, I will let down the nets. And when they had done this, they enclosed a large number of fish and their nets were breaking. And they signaled to their partners in the other boat to come and help them. And they came and filled both the boats so that they began to sink. But when Simon Peter saw it, he fell down at Jesus' knees and he's saying, depart from me, for I am a sinful man, O Lord. For he and all who were with him were astonished at the catch of fish that they had taken. And so also were James and John, sons of Zebedee, who were partners with Simon. And Jesus said to Simon, do not be afraid. From now on, you will be catching men. And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and followed him. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, this morning as we have gathered together, what a joy it has been, and how good it has been for our souls to be in this place, gathered together to sing of your greatness, to sing of your goodness, to sing of your faithfulness, to sing of your mercy, and to hear of the wonderful things that you have done throughout this past week, and hearing from the kids, and it's just been so good. And now as we turn to your word, we ask that you would speak to our hearts, that you open our eyes and our hearts to hear what you have to say, because what you say is what matters most. We need you. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. So here's the story as we come to this passage. Jesus, he's towards the beginning of his ministry here. He's calling his first disciples. And already his reputation is getting out there. People are hearing about this guy. No one teaches like him. No one speaks like him. He does amazing miracles. He does, as Dwayne shared this morning and reminded us as he was praying, just he does the impossible. He's healing people. He is doing things that no one has ever seen. There is nobody like this guy. And so everybody's coming. They want to see Jesus. They want to get around him. They want to hear him. They want to see what he's about. And here in this instance, we're told that there are so many people that are coming and gathering on, and he's on the lakeshore here, so many that he's being pressed out into the water that he has to hop on Simon's boat and use it sort of as a platform so that he can speak. You just picture that, this group of people just pressing in, growing crowds, wanting to hear from Jesus. And Luke goes on and he tells us what happens. And the thing here that we see in this passage is the focus isn't on the crowds. The focus comes in on a conversation between Jesus and Simon. And Jesus, we're told, says to him in verse 4, "Put out into the deep and let down your nets for a catch." Do you see what is happening here? Jesus here, what do we know about Jesus? Jesus, he's a son of a carpenter. He's not a fisherman. He's an itinerant preacher. He's out there going and speaking, and he's doing some amazing things. He's not a fisherman, and Peter is a fisherman, and he's saying over here to Peter, "Let me tell you about how you need to do your work." We all like that when someone tells us how to do our work, right? And that's what's going on here. But Peter, how does he hear what Jesus has to say? He sees this crowd. He's heard about it. He must have heard of what Jesus is doing. This guy must be someone. And he looks at Jesus and he says, "Okay, all right, you have said this. We've toiled all night and we took nothing. I know what I'm doing here. This isn't new stuff to me." But he says, "But at your word, I'm going to let down the nets and I'm going to be obedient to you." He takes Jesus at his word, and that is such a big deal here, because his response here is what opens Peter up to the great potential of what God wants to do and what he's about to do here. Through his obedience and the miraculous work of Jesus, something amazing happens. What happens? So many fish are caught in their nets. They go out there, and so many fish are caught in their nets that they can't handle all the fish that they catch. They have been out all night, nothing. They have stayed up all night, toiled long and hard, nothing. And here they are, and Jesus says, "Just do this," and he is obedient. And there's so much fish that they can't handle it. They call their buddies to come over. Their boats can't handle it. There is so much fish. Not only is it a miracle that they're catching fish during the day like they are, but it is a miraculous amount of fish that they are catching. But yet, isn't this what Jesus does all the time? As he takes sinners and he transforms our lives and he does a miracle and he brings dead people back to life. He takes the disappointing, devastating, he takes the difficult. And the D's can keep on going. He takes the depressing situations and he steps in and he works them for the good. And in verse 8, Simon Peter sees this, and what other response is there and can there be that would have been appropriate? And as he becomes aware of the greatness of the one who is in his presence, and he realizes that this guy, he is not like me. He is not like anybody else that I have ever met. He realizes that this guy is exactly who he says he is, that he is the Son of God. And we see Peter, he's moving deeper in his understanding of who Jesus is, to the point of total amazement and recognition and falling down on his knees before this guy, Jesus, and he's saying, "I'm a sinner. Depart from me. There's no way that you can work through me in my life," because he knows who he is. He knows in his heart how far apart he is from who this Jesus is. But Jesus, he comes in and he corrects his thinking right away. And he helps us see that what we need to know is that Jesus rescues in the midst of every situation, and he will work through anyone as long as they are willing to surrender their lives to following him in obedience. And what happens here? This man who is unworthy of Jesus, which he is, he's found useful for service. And as we know how the story goes on, Peter is one who is one of the key people that God uses to keep the name of Jesus and keep telling the story of God's grace. It's a story where this guy, he falls hard. And he denies Jesus, but yet Jesus keeps on coming back to him and saying and reinstates him and keeps on loving him even whenever he denies that he even knew Jesus in the future. And he's one of the big reasons why we're still here as a church, singing and telling the story of Jesus. That's how God uses this guy. And every single one of them, we're told, is amazed. And Jesus says to him, he says, "Don't be afraid. There's nothing to fear." Throughout Scripture, over and over, isn't that what we find Jesus saying to every single person who comes before him and is trusting in him? "Don't be afraid. You have nothing to fear." And one of the big points that I have this morning, it was the big point, but it's one of them now. And here's where we come to it. It's what I want us to get. He tells Peter, "Here's what my followers and disciples are going to be about. I want you guys, you're no longer going to be catching fish, but you're about catching men and being fishers of men." He says, up to this point, your life has been about going out and trying to make a living and catch some fish so that you can feed some people. But now you're going to be going out, and your job that I'm going to cause you to be about is going and fishing for men and catching men so that they can truly live and have life eternal. So Luke goes on to tell us, what's their response? Verse 11, "And when they had brought their boats to land, they left everything and they followed him." They left everything. Did you get that? They left everything. Jesus was worth everything to him. We said this, Jesus changes everything. It's what we say around here because we've experienced that. We believe that. Jesus had rescued them from a night of catching no fish which they'd used to make a living, in a way that only he could have done, in a way that showed that he was worth giving their lives to. They left their jobs, they left their boats, they left their businesses. These guys weren't just people who didn't have anything going on. They had a lot going on, and they made that sacrifice and they gave it up. They left behind that miraculous catch to follow Jesus. They left everything that had been of any value to them because of their relationship with Jesus. He was everything to them. And so this morning, as we sit here, the question that I want to ask of us is this: what is it that Jesus calls us to do with our lives? What is it that he's calling you to do with your life if you were following Jesus? What does it mean to follow Jesus? He says it very clearly here in this passage, that as he meets with them and as he meets them in their need and he provides for them in their time of loss, he says, "This is what you are called to do. You're not called to be just fishermen, but you are called to be fishers of men." Matthew 4:18, he says, "I will make you, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." The reason that we're about helping people find and follow Jesus as a church is because that's what Jesus said we are supposed to be about. He said, that's the mission. He says, that's the task that I've given you to do. And here at the very beginning, as he's with his disciples, he says, "You guys are going to go and catch people and lead them to life in me. I want you to point them to me." And at the end of his time on earth, as he's leaving his disciples, as he's ascending back into heaven after he's risen from the dead, he says this, he says, "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teach them to observe all that I have commanded you." He keeps on telling them, this is what you're about. Keep on telling people about me. Go and make disciples. Help people find and follow after me. Because there's going to be a time whenever there isn't any more catching of men. There isn't any more time left for that. But that day has not come, and it's only because of God's mercy that he hasn't. Because, as Peter tells us, "The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but he is patient towards you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance." He's patient. He's patiently awaiting. And he is a God who is full of mercy. And does it really matter how we live our lives? When you ask that question, "God, what do you want me to do with my life?" Does it really matter? Yeah, it matters. This work that we've been given matters so much, not only for our lives, but it matters for every single person that is living around us, that we are faithful and we are obedient to what God has called us to. It's so easy to think that we can do whatever we want to do and think that it doesn't affect anybody else and that it's all about us and what we want to do, but it's not. The way that God works, the way that it all works. We're a part of a community. We're a part of people. We have people in our lives, and God has given us a responsibility and a privilege to be used by him for his glory and for his good. To follow Jesus, it means that our lives will look very different from the rest of the world. Jesus reaches into our lives and transforms us into new people. He steps into our hurt, he steps into our pain and our disappointment and discouragement, and he meets us there and he walks with us. He sustains us. He never said it would be easy, but he promised that he'd give us everything that we need. And he does, and he shows up in the biggest of ways with perfect timing like only he can. He says in Luke 14, 26 and 27, that if anyone comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother and his wife and children and brothers and sisters, yeah, even his own life, he cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not bear his own cross and come after me cannot be my disciple. What does it mean to follow Jesus? It means it takes everything. It's us surrendering everything we have to him. Does it mean that we're really supposed to not like our parents? No, that's not what Jesus is saying. He's saying, in comparison to how much you love me, that's what it should be like in comparison. That you love me so much that if you tried to match them up, it would seem like you don't really care for those who are close to you. He's just saying, love me so much that you're willing to give everything up for me. So I want to ask you this morning, what's your purpose in life? Do you know what God wants you to do? Are you living for what God has created you to do? He wants you to know him. And out of that, he calls you to point him people to him. He wants you to go and make disciples. He wants you to help people find and follow Jesus. So that was the big thing that I wanted us to get out of this. But this week, I think there's more that's worth pointing out, because it's what God seemed to be leaning into my heart that is so encouraging. And it's just that, to remember that here these disciples are, these guys, they weren't even his disciples yet, and they're out there and they're having a long, hard night. Come back disappointed, things are hard. Coming up empty. And maybe you're here, and maybe you're a mom, dad, grandparent, friend, brother, sister, and you're just in a hard place, and you're at a loss this morning. Maybe there's a burden that you're carrying. Something that you're hurting over so bad. Where you're lonely and you need to know that Jesus rescues, and you're worried about something, and you need to hear that Jesus rescues. You're struggling, you're feeling powerless, to know that Jesus rescues in the midst of it all. And to hear Jesus say, don't be afraid. Maybe that's where you're at, and you need to hear that. And maybe there's a load of people all around us in our community that need to hear that. And so that's why we're about helping people find and follow Jesus, because he is our rescuer. And it's not just a nice statement for us as a church to be about, but it doesn't work if we as individuals aren't about doing that and going and telling people about God's goodness, his grace, his faithfulness, his mercy. And so I'm pleading with you, I'm encouraging you, experience his grace and mercy in your life, sit at his feet, listen into his heart and his voice. And as you spend time in his presence, allow God to use you to let people know about how good he is, about his faithfulness. So I ask you to pray. Pray for those who are close to you. Invest in them. invite them into your life so that you can share the best news that there is and share the gospel with them and hear what Jesus calls every single one of us to be about, and that is to follow him. And he says that he'll make us fishers of men. He's the one who's going to do that work. So let's bow our heads as we bring this to a close. And just ask the Lord, God, what do you want to say? What are you saying to me now? Maybe it's in regards to just what we're doing with our lives. Maybe it's in regards to something that we're going through right now. And you need to hear that he's faithful, that he is the one who rescues in the midst of whatever our circumstances. And just be reminded that he's the one who steps in, that he's the one who provides, that he's the one who meets us in our need. That he's the one who comes in and he does miracles. He's the one who comes and he's the one who says, don't be afraid. He's the one who comes in and says, I got something for you to do. And I'm going to take this hard thing, I'm going to use it for my glory, and I'm going to use it for your good.